The third reading from the Passion History. And when they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out, as he was accustomed, across the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him, and he said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, so that you do not fall into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down, fell on his face, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, he said to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand. But pray lest you enter into temptation." And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, having received a band of soldiers and officers from the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, went before them and came with lanterns, torches, and swords, and with clubs. And the betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely." Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Then as soon as he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of these whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" And Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him, and immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "My friend, why have you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" And he touched the servant's ear and healed him. In that hour Jesus said to the chief priests, the captains of the temple, and the elders who had come out to him, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled." And all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. This is the passion history of our Lord. From the Passion History and for our meditation, we hear again Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. "Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The human will is a powerful tool, incredibly powerful. There are amazing stories of determination that inspire and awe us. The will is the intent and the determination to do something. Jesus has not only a human will, but also a divine will, because he is God and man in one person. His will, both human and divine, is in agreement with God the Father's will. But in his condition of human lowliness, as he contemplates the coming suffering and death that he faces, his suffering already begins with just thinking about it. And so he prays, "Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." We know that the will of God is good and gracious. He wants what is kindest and best for us. He works all things together for good, for our eternal good. And St. Paul writes, God wants all people to be saved. It is God's will. It is God's intention. It is how he plans things to be. All things must be subordinate to that main principle of God's plan of salvation, salvation for all mankind. We ask God to carry out that will of salvation every time we pray as Jesus taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done." And the Catechism teaches us what is God's will. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow his name nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our own flesh, but strengthens and keeps us steadfast in his word and in faith until our end. This is his good and gracious will. The will of the devil is to keep us in bondage to sin and death. But God's will is stronger and will accomplish our salvation. God sent his Son to do that will, and Jesus carries it out freely and willingly because he loves us, because he wants to share heaven with us. The scriptures give us the words of the Messiah in the Psalms, "I have come to do your will, O Lord." And the hymn writer also describes it so beautifully. "Yea, Father, yea, most willingly, I'll bear what thou commandest. My will conforms to thy decree. I do what thou demandest. O wondrous love, what hast thou done? The Father offers up his Son. The Son content descendeth. O love, how strong thou art to save. Thou layest him within the grave, whose might the boulders rendeth." Our reading of the Passion history this evening clearly shows that Jesus goes forth to his arrest and trial of his own free will. He prays three times to his Father, but always submits to the divine will of God and is willing to drink this cup of suffering. When Judas comes to betray him, and when the soldiers come to arrest him, and Peter tries to stop them, Jesus does not hesitate, but willingly says, "I am the one you are looking for." It was so stunning that it struck them to the ground. As soon as he had said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground, the Gospels tell us. And Jesus told Peter, "Put away that sword. I can call down legions of angels from my Father to defend me if I choose to do so." But the will of God to save mankind was more important. "Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled?" Jesus was not dragged off. He went willingly. He freely admitted that he was Jesus of Nazareth whom they were seeking. He told Pilate that he was a king. But when he was accused falsely, he did not open his mouth to defend himself against those false accusations. He allowed himself to be condemned and crucified, all out of love for us, because we could not save ourselves. That is why Isaiah and the hymn writer describe him as the lamb led to slaughter that did not open its mouth. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of all men bearing, and laden with the sins of earth, none else the burden sharing, goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer, bear shame and stripes and wounds and death, anguish and mockery, and saith, "Willing, all this I suffer. But the pains he suffered were real and more than physical pains. The physical pains were horrendous enough: slapping, spitting, beating, whipping, crucifying, piercing. But the pain that he suffered most of all was the struggle of his will, the battle between Satan and God. He willingly suffered the torments of hell that we deserve. He was abandoned by God the Father so that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His will and purpose determined for him to fulfill that scriptural promise of one perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. With his love and with his will, he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We sing about this even in the hymns for this evening. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Jesus' loving will to rescue mankind makes us his own people again. We are no longer slaves to the will of the devil, nor to our own sinful will. We do still carry with us that sinful nature throughout our life, and sometimes it wins the day and causes us to sin. We are at the same time saint and sinner. But when we trust in God, and when God looks at us, he sees us covered in the pure and holy blood of Jesus. God sees our new, risen nature that has the same will to do what is right and to be with God. Jesus drank the cup of sorrow so that we might drink the cup of joy. In his sorrow, he shed his blood on the cross and even in the garden, mingled with the drops of sweat when he was praying. John tells us that that holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in fact, Jesus' last will and testament, in his last will and testament, he gives us that same blood in the cup of Holy Communion for the remission of sins. When we eat his body and drink his blood in that holy sacrament, we are receiving the fruit of his holy will, his decided determination that we should be redeemed, restored, and forgiven, because he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Sorrow and love flow together. Forgiveness and eternal life flow together. We drink from that holy fountain that sustains and refreshes our soul and our will to be brothers and sisters with Christ, members of God's holy family, and co-heirs with the angels above in eternal glory. We can be so thankful that God the Father did not let that cup of sorrow pass from Jesus, but that Jesus drank it down to the dregs to lift up us from the dregs of our sin to the pure joy of salvation. The hymn writer also says, "And when thy glory I shall see and taste thy kingdom's pleasure, thy blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before thy throne, thy righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as thine own bride I shall be brought, to stand in joy beside thee." All this is what Jesus accomplished in doing his Father's will to purchase salvation for all people. All this we pray in the Lord's Prayer and every time we pray to God, "Not my will, but your will be done, O Lord." God wants all people to be saved. Thy will be done. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
bless the Lord.